guided by God, reading the first six verses of 1 Samuel. Bible says, so the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord. They took it to Abinadab's house on the hill and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to guard the ark of the Lord. It was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained at Kiriath-Jearim. And all the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. And Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths, and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the Israelites put away their Baals and their Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. And then Samuel said, assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you. And when they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water, poured it out before the Lord, and on that day fasted and confessed, we have sinned against the Lord. And the Samuel was leader of Israel at Mizpah. Lord, we come before you, challenged in our existence, challenged in our lives, challenged to be guided by you, Lord. Some of us breaking through and seeing great victories and great progress and great advancement. And we thank you for 2014. We, in eager expectation, look ahead to 2015 with plans that are guided and directed by you. Lord, some of us struggle. Some of us have physical ailments, Lord. I lift up Beatrice to you this morning, Lord, who struggles with her back and with her heart. Kathy, the challenges that she has. Lord, I lift up Jean, Lord, and the challenges she has with the sickness of her oldest son, Lord, that he is on in hospice, Lord. Guide us, Lord. Come and meet us in this place, Lord. We want to be directed by you. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
So we have these great challenges. We have great victories. We have 18th birthdays. What was it, three 18-year-old birthdays or two anyway? Dana, a little bit past 18. I think that was last year. But yes, in fact, we went over to the Gaudet's house last night for Josh's birthday party. And I was pretty wiped. I had to get out of there quick because I had to go prep and do all this stuff. And anyway, but there was dinner. And lined up, there were three tins of mostaccioli. This is raw mostaccioli, I think, but theirs was indeed cooked. And then right next to the mostaccioli, you know, there was some garlic bread, salad. You know, salad in a buffet is just gets in the way. You know, so you just move right on past and got to the first 10 mostaccioli. And then there next to the mostaccioli was meatball sauce, you know, spaghetti sauce, meatballs. And Pastor Scott said he was indeed the meatballer, so to speak. And so I am loading up my mostaccioli with the meatball sauce. And it's pretty good and covered. And I notice a second pot next to the meatball pot, which is the sausage and spaghetti sauce pot. I'm in a quandary now, because I am a fan of Italian sausage. So I put a couple of sausages on and go sit down, and being that it is kind of a buffet kind of thing, my plate is clean, and I'm thinking I can go back for more pasta and more sausage, which I did. And in fact, the only thing standing between me and more pasta was me. Today we come to the guided by God. The Israelites have a problem. The only thing standing between them and God was them. Talk about being guided by God today. If you walk out of here with anything, I just want to let you know, don't let anything get between you and God. Because there's stuff that'll creep right in. We have been looking at this picture throughout this series. We talk about the various relationships that we have, and that relationship between you and God is the primary relationship that you have. And what happens is things start creeping in and getting in the way. Those bottom relationships, sometimes we get so caught up with ourselves, we don't have enough time for God. Sometimes we get caught up with other people. Can be your kids, can be your relatives, can be whatever. And that relationship gets so complicated. Starts choking out God. Rest of creation, stuff going on, job, school, whatever. Car. Get right between you and God. Today we're going to talk about the Ark of the Covenant. Comes into this story. And yes, it is the one that was featured in the movie. All right? Search for the, The Lost, Raiders of the Lost Ark. And the Ark of the Covenant was a big old chest covered in gold. And inside of it was the original Ten Commandments. There was the staff that Aaron had that budded, and a jar of manna. And it was overlaid with gold. This is just kind of a cartoon thing. There were some pictures that I had that were actual gold, and they were incredibly, incredibly impressive. But what I wanted to show you is these cherubim that are these angels that are on top of the chest. And their wings are outstretched. And where they meet, or in between those wings, is what is called the mercy seat of God. And it is shown in this picture as that little kind of flash of light. And that is where the presence of God was. In the tabernacle, which was the tent that that led the people through the wilderness for 40 years. And as the tabernacle stopped, they would camp around the tabernacle. And inside that would be the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. And in there would be the Ark of the Covenant. And there, when the Lord met with the high priest or with Moses, his presence would be on the mercy seat. Are you tracking with me? As we read in 1 Samuel 7, the Israelites are in trouble. The Philistines have come. They have attacked Israel. They have taken the Ark of the Covenant. They can't handle it. You can read it in verses 5 and 6, the god Dagon. It is quite interesting reading how they bring the Ark of the Covenant into the temple of Dagon, and they come back in the morning, and the idol Dagon, the statue, has fallen over on his face, and his hands are busted off. And the priests go, whoa, tip him up quick. And the next day they come in, and he's fallen, and his head is busted off. They say, we got to get rid of this thing. It's messing us up. And so that's kind of where we come to our service this morning. Guided by God, talking about the Israelites grabbing on. Amen? Amen. My question is, what is in between you and God? What is keeping you from grabbing on to God? And do you have enough God? I'll tell you what, you have all the God you want. Exactly. Exactly. Israel is facing challenging times. Verse 1. So the men of Kiriath Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord. They took it to Abinadab's house on the hill and consecrated Eleazar, the son, to guard the ark of the Lord. That's because the Lord struck some people dead as they were dragging that thing around. They said, we don't want to know what to do with it either. We're just going to leave it at Abinadab's house. We'll find out. They leave it there for 20 years. The ark had been captured by the Philistines. They had come and attacked the Israelites and beat them down. Just beat them down in 1 Samuel chapter 4. And so the Israelites say, hey, oh, I'm sorry. There's no gimmicks with God, if you want to fill in that blank. No gimmicks with God. They say, hey, we got beat down. Let's go get the ark. The ark will protect us. And they drag the ark out, and they get whooped even worse. And they take the ark. And if you remember the picture of the ark, there was that mercy seat. And that's where the presence of God was. And the Israelites mistakenly thought that as they drug around the Ark of the Covenant, that they were dragging around God. And that God was going to protect them. Now, we have spent our time in 1 Samuel reading of the call of Samuel, reading of the ministry of Eli, and the ministry of his sons, Phinehas and Hophni. Eli's sons were not holy men. Read about their sins. Read about the compliance of Eli in their sins as he did not stop them. And I don't know how effective Eli was in the beginning of his priesthood, but the end of his priesthood was not good. During the priesthood of Eli, the relationship of Israel had been severed from God. Had been weakened. Not for all. We read about Hannah. Hannah kneeling before the Lord, crying out to God. There were some who could break through. There were some who did not have barriers between them and God. This church is not going to take the barriers out of your life. We'll help you as we can. But if you are going to break through the barriers between you and God, it's going to be on you. You have got to want the barriers gone more than I do. I mean, I can't be dragging you through. Here's a barrier. It's like, oh, I don't really care about my habit. I can't take it out of your way. But you want to get it out of there, we'll help you. We'll show you what we can. We read about the 40 years under the ministry of Eli. And as that relationship with the Lord is weakened, all the other relationships that the Israelites have get messed up. And I don't know how 2014 looked for you, but if your relationship with God is weakening, the rest of your relationships are going to become increasingly complicated, twisted, and tweaked. We try to cover up that lack in that vertical relationship with the other relationships we have going on. And as with the Israelites, you try to bring the ark of God into the mix as like a gimmick. There are no gimmicks to fixing that relationship with God. There's no easy fix. There's no flicking a switch and all of a sudden God is going to come to the rescue. Because you can't con God. Can I get one amen on that? Thank you. No gimmicks to fixing the relationship with God. The picture of a problem, verse 2. It was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained at Kiriath-Jearim, and all the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. 20 years getting beat down by the Philistines. 40 years under Eli, 60 years in all. How many of you are less than 60 years old? 60 years. Sorry, I might have insulted some of you on that. Some of you kind of going. Things are not working out for them. They are mourning. They are crying out to God. They are seeking the Lord. 20 years. Took him to start crying out to God. How long does it take you to start crying out to God? How bad does it really have to get before you really start seeking the Lord? See, oftentimes we see that gap in our relationship with the Lord and we don't start trying to fix it until everything else is messed up. You know, until we see ourselves as just being in the gutter until our relationship with others is just tearing us up and our job's messed up, our home's messed up, our car's messed up, our job's messed up, everything's messed up. I think I ought to try and get things right with God now. You don't have to wait that long. And if you get it right with God and the other stuff starts working out, you don't have to wait for everything else to get trashed to keep on making it better with God. Can I get a witness on that? Many of you are finding that out. It is exciting to see. God had removed his hand of protection from Israel. Why? Because they had lost touch with him. He's not going to protect you once you lose relationship with him. Why? Because he wants you to know. He says, hey, this is me. This is me not helping you anymore. And so they begin to try and help themselves. They're hurting. They are crying out to God. They have a massive problem. They are mourning. This is a group thing. Those Hebrew words talk about a corporate mourning and a corporate crying out. All of Israel is in pain. And the real question is do they hurt enough to change? Because sometimes it's just easier to hurt. Have you found that to be true? Sometimes we just get a little medication and we just slide through that pain until Monday morning. Somebody's got to know what I'm talking about, right? We can self-medicate, we can ignore, we can go to the movies, we can watch football, we can do all kinds of stuff to ignore the drama that is our lives. Sometimes it's just easier to hurt. So the question today is, do you hurt enough to change? I saw my old friend Al, the neighborhood association president on, I think it was Tuesday. Al, such a kind and gentle man. I was coming out of the church, and there he was with his wife. And I talked to him for a moment, and he said he looked like I was gaining weight. Thank you, Al. Appreciate that. Actually, his wife said, what is this? What is this? And I said, well, I was looking like my dad. And Al said, well, if you dropped a couple of pounds, you probably wouldn't look like your dad. So how bad you got to hurt to change? Well, that night I got home and went on the treadmill. Yeah. Thursday night, got on the treadmill. Friday night, got on the treadmill. You know what? Saturday, I was tired. You have to hurt enough to change. Do you hurt that much? Are you ready for change for 2015? I mentioned that we had started doing the daily reading log, going through the Bible. Joe and I, JJ, was added this week. School started back up Monday through Friday. Saturday was men's breakfast. Sunday, I was prepping today, but we are going through Job. You want to see a change, you got to make a change. Seeing God in all these other areas of my life manifest, it is so good. It is so good. I hope you're experiencing that. And if you're not, I hope you hurt enough to change. Because you have exactly as much God in your life as you want. Exactly. You say, I want more God. It's not like God's up there going, sorry, not for you. Here I am. Can I get a witness? The path to reconciliation. Samuel is the leader of Israel. He is also the priest. It says, and Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, if you're returning to the Lord with all your hearts. See, a lot of us want to come to the Lord with a portion of our hearts. Or maybe just an arm. Or a couple of fingers will do. Lord, here you go. What can you do with a couple of fingers? I got 10. I got two to spare. Samuel says, if you're coming back to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines, removing the barriers to God. They had Ashtoreths and Baals. These are them. The ark of God was in, anybody remember? Kiriath Jearim. It's like city of Jearim. You can look in the Bible, and that was not always called Kiriath Jearim. Before it was called Kiriath Jearim, it was called Kiriath Baal, the city of Baal. Interesting how the Ark of God comes to rest for 20 years in the city of Baal. Thought I'd just throw that your way. No extra charge. I don't know if you can tell. We don't have any young men here. That's kind of good. But that picture of Ashtoreth is kind of anatomically correct. No amens from the men out there? That's good. That's good. In fact, many of the idols, I saw that she was actually bringing attention to her anatomical correctness, if you know what I'm talking about. Israelites had to get rid of their idols. They have to, I read that and I go, why? Why would the Israelites grab on to Baal and Ashtoreth? And I got only one answer. It seemed like a good idea at the time. You know, 20 years, the Ark of God is in Kiriath Baal, Kiriath Jearim, right? And everything is in turmoil. Eli is dead. You can read about that in 1 Samuel chapter 5. And by the Philistines, he falls over dead. His sons are killed. The priesthood is decimated. The Ark is gone. 20 years, Samuel is growing up into a man, and their religion is in turmoil. Last remembrance they have of the Ark of God is when they drag it out of the temple into battle and they get whooped on. It didn't work. So they say, hey, let's grab onto a Baal. Maybe what? Maybe it'll work out for us. Let's grab onto the Ashtoreth, the goddess of fertility. Actually, Baal is the son of Dagon, the god who fell over and busted his head off when the ark was there. Seemed like a good idea at the time. See, they had lost that relationship with God, so they were trying to bolster it in other areas. Come up with a fake God, bolster your other relationships so that void between God, you and God, is not so noticeable. And you're thinking, why are you preaching on this? I don't have any problem with this, Pastor. So the question is what do you grab onto when you're losing your grip on God? Because it might not be the Ashtoreth and the Baal, but it might be leisure. I just need me a little rest. It might be work. I got to find me some money. Might be sports. You might be watching it. You might be playing it. Could be gambling. Could be drinking. There's all kinds of things to grab onto when your relationship with God is weakened. Could be sex, could be music, and it could be Facebook. What gets in between you and God? What's your barrier? Where do you turn to get by? Because that's what Samuel would say. You got to put that away. Got to get right with God. Amen? path to reconciliation, the Israelites are getting back on track. So the Israelites put away their Baals and their Asherets and served the Lord only. And then Samuel said, assemble all Israel at Mizpah, it's just a town, probably, I don't know, 15 miles north of Jerusalem. And I will intercede with the Lord for you. When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water, poured it out before the Lord. And on that day they fasted, and there they confessed, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel was a leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came to attack them. They said, ho, we'll wipe them out in one shot. When the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, do not stop crying out to the Lord for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. Back on track. Israelites are doing all they can to link back up with God. They got rid of their idols. They put them away. They said, this has complicated our lives. This has gotten between us and God. We're going to put that away. That is not enough. If you are gambling too much, drinking too much, an illicit affair, if you are into sports, if you are into work, into money, into whatever, you got to get rid of that to start, and then you got to line up on the Lord. Amen? Now, he says that they gathered before the Lord, talking about all of Israel, and there they fasted, and there they confessed. Now, fasting is, you know, we used to have this lady we knew. To really bless the Lord, she would fast from cleaning her house. That's really not, you know, what we're looking for. You know, like you go on a juice fast, you go on a water fast, go on a complete fast. It is a process of self-denial where you deny yourself and you put a focus on the Lord. I used to fast. There was, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years. I fasted twice a week. And I dug it. I got to this point in my body, I got the diabetes. It's complicated. I don't know how to fast now because I get all messed up, my diabetes. But what happened, I mean, with me, man, I don't eat, I get hungry. Anybody get that happen to them? Yeah. And every time I got hungry, when I was fasting, I would go, oh, yeah, it's the Lord. And so I would have this continual remembrance of the Lord. And it just made this tie and this focus so tight. And that is what is happening with all of Israel, that they have put away their false gods, and now they are focusing on the Lord. And as they focus on the Lord, they begin to see that we have sinned against you, God. That in all my partying, because of all my lack of relationship with you, I have sinned. In all of my work, in all of my gambling, in all of my carousing, in all of you filling, all my Facebook. To fill the void of my life because I don't have a relationship with you, I have sinned against you. And they begin to restore that relationship. And guess what? You end up with that great relationship with God. You don't need so much Facebook. Can I get a witness? I speak of that which I do not know. Because I've never had a Facebook account. I don't know how it works. Sometimes my wife will just say, look at this. And I go, oh. I don't get it. So I'm sorry. I've never twitted, whatever. It's not because I'm so righteous with God. It's just, come on. My life is complicated enough. I don't need all this other crud. Crud, that Hebrew word means complication. Okay. So where are we at? Let me get back here. All right. So they got 60 years of drama, 40 years under Eli, 20 years, the ark, at Kirjathjearim. They've got the Asherah, they got the Baals, they got all this stuff. They're trying to trudge through and get right with God. And all of a sudden, here come the Philistines. And they're afraid. I mention that because when you're going to line up with the Lord, challenges will come. And this was a real challenge. It was like, the Philistines, don't worry about it. No, man, these guys are coming to wipe them out, coming to kill them. It's a real threat. And the Israelites have two choices. They can run to fight, or they can run away. And they make a different choice. They grab onto God. They said, we don't care that they're coming. Samuel, keep praying. Because if we're going to find deliverance in this situation, we are going to grab onto God. You're going to find deliverance in your situation. You will need to grab onto God. There is this incredible, documentary, 1986, leading theologian of our time came with this incredible truth. You might be aware of the opportunity you had to learn from this man. Yes. My wife goes, huh? See, she probably didn't watch it. But the whole movie, Top Gun, if you have not seen it, 86, how old is I? Like 25. Comes out and is a story of Tom Cruise, and he's just kind of this crazy dude. He's all over the place. He is like the Israelites for the 60 years. He's grabbing onto anything that he can, and he's got a wildness in him. And as you go through the movie, he realizes that he has to commit to this structure. And the big thing is he's always leaving his wingman, his partner, to fend for himself. He says, I'm going to do my own thing. And he gets to the end, and the Russian guys are coming in their planes, and he's getting to a point where he is in danger. And the guy who's in the back seat saying, hey, man, we're going to get shot down. And he's saying, I will not leave my wingman. And that is what the Israelites say as the Philistines are coming down. We will not let go of God. He is going to be our salvation. So you never got that in that movie, huh, Ben? Well, watch it today. God, right there, right? Don't let go. See, when you try to establish that relationship with God and you want to grab on, all those other relationships are going to start clamoring, hey, what about us? You say, I'm not letting go of my relationship with God. Amen? All right, let's see what happens. Here we go. The Israelites find victory. Yay, it's a good story. All right, here we go. Verses 9 through 11. Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered with a loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah, where they were having church, and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them all the way to a point below Beth Kar. God's paying attention, folks. God's paying attention to you. He knows what is in between you and him. And I guarantee you that this is not the first time he's saying, hey, what about this? What about that? And you're going, it doesn't matter, God. You got two fingers. It's okay. And he says, no, I'm looking for a whole heart. I'm looking for fullness of attention. He thunders at the Philistines. They are disoriented. They are in panic, and they run away. God hands the Philistines over to the Israelites. Now, the relationship with God is now strengthened, and you see that bottom, the relationship with others, you can call it the rest of creation, their surroundings, their enemies. The Lord, because the relationship with the Lord is strengthened, begins to overflow into those other areas of their lives. And gives them protection and provision, and the other things start to work themselves out. Can I get a witness on that? So if you have got drama down there on the bottom, you put a focus on the top, and the rest are not going to magically be fixed. But I'll tell you what, sure does work a whole lot better. Supernatural power of God is overflowing through, into, and through the Israelites. And that can happen around your life, your home, your situations. God sends thunder. Philistines run away. It could have ended right there. I mean, they could have just gone, oh yeah, we're safe. Bam, let's go back and have church. Right? And the Philistines would gather a mile or two down the road and say, whoa, what was that? But the Israelites run them down. The Israelites kill them all the way to a point past Beth Kar. We don't know where Beth Kar is. But they routed them. They killed a bunch of them. It was for a while. It was for a long ways. It took effort. You're going to find victory in your life. The Lord moves in a supernatural way. It is going to take effort on your part. Can I get a witness? You need help with that? We will try to help you with that. You need direction in that? We'll try to give you direction. But if you just want to come back to church, probably your situation is going to perk right back down to the way it was. Say, oh, you know, Lord, you know, Pastor, that situation we prayed about, it got better for a minute, and then now it's right back. What did you do with that minute? Nothing. You got to move. God expects you to move. God didn't kill one Philistine. He just brought thunder. You ever brought thunder? No. We can't bring thunder. God brings thunder. Says, hey, use the thunder. Get it done. Find a change. Make a change. Lose the gambling, the drinking, the drugging, the sports, whatever is in between you and God. Get rid of it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Getting on track with God takes effort. All right. Last thing. Don't forget that the Lord is close. Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. This is after the battle, after church. He's had great church service. They've had the sacrifice. They've been fasting. They've been confessing. They got thunder of the Lord, supernatural stuff. And Samuel takes a stone. It's probably not a stone that's the size of your head. It's probably the stone that's 20 feet high. And he sets it up. And he says, Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped us. Where's the Lord helped you? It is good to have an Ebenezer. It is good to have a remembrance. You draw a line. A line in the sand is, but you know, you just draw it. I mean, it easily, it's not like the Ebenezer stone. It's there forever and all that kind of, but man, it's right there. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. Where has the Lord helped you? You're thinking. I hope it is not 20 years ago. I hope it is not. Well, 2 years ago, I prayed for a parking spot. It was Christmas time. It was right in front of Target. And wow, right there. My line, right there, Ebenezer. I'm going to put it in front of Walmart. I hope you got an Ebenezer from this week. Because that sign, thus far, right here, they were right there at Ebenezer. Thus far, the Lord has helped us right here. And next week, he's going to be helping us again. And it'll be right here, close, not far. I hope that the Lord is close to you. And if he's not, you can get rid of the barriers that are between you and him. And he'll tell you right now, this is what is in between me and you. Why? Because he wants to be close. How much God do you got? You got as exactly as much as you want. Because he's telling you how to get more. If you want it, you'll be making a change. Real question is, do you hurt bad enough? Because so often he's got to have drama happen everywhere else for us to move that barrier out. Ebenezer, don't let anything get in between you and God. I'll tell you what. We got Ebenezer going around here. Lisa, you want to come up here, please? Yesterday, Lisa, you know, we had this teacher's training thing, and it's all this big thing put on by the district. Found out it was in Pasadena. Pasadena is a ways, especially when you're trying to get up there by 8, you know. See her at 4 a.m. And so, you know what? Lisa grabbed a crew of these ladies yesterday and had our own training thing. Ebenezer. God is close. Amen? You know, I'm looking back there at the bulletin board, and Callie's doing that, and she's not here today. I think her kids are sick or something. You know, hallelujah, man. There is just stuff that is just getting done. Yesterday morning, we had men's breakfast. I told Roki how blessed I was by his leading. We had music. We had food. We had cooking. Carlos spoke. It was good, man. It was Ebenezer. Thus far, the Lord is right here. How close is the Lord to you? Now, we got this new youth program coming on. We've been running, I don't know, 15, 16 kids a day after the other program. And it's complicated and hard. Praise God. Thus far, right there, the Lord is right there with us. I hope you got Ebenezer. I hope you've got God right here, close to you. Because if you don't, you've got some barriers in the way. Time to get rid of the barriers. And I'll guarantee you, or I'm believing, God is letting you know what the barriers are. Amen? Lord, I thank you that you are good and mighty and awesome. Lord, that there is stuff in the way. Between us and you, Lord, and it takes change, it takes modification, it takes desire to remove the clutter and move closer to you, to celebrate, Lord, your closeness. And I know that there are so many of you that are here this morning and you're just going, woo-hoo, Ebenezer. I'm thinking about getting a new tat, the Ebenezer tat, thus far, yeah. My wife frowns on that, by the way. You might get an Ebenezer stone, put it in your house. You might just have an Ebenezer life. Thus far, the Lord has been helping me. You know, and what? I'm not looking back at last week. I'm looking forward to next week. Glory. Lord, I thank you that you are close, that you are making changes. Lord, that there are boundaries and barriers, Lord, that are in between me and you, Lord. We are moving them out of the way and we are moving ahead. But some of you, stuck. Stuck in pain, hurting, mourning, crying out, God, where are you? Desiring God, reaching out, God, where are you? And he says, I'm right here. I have always been right here. But you got this thing that you grab onto instead of me. That's why you hurt. That's why you mourn. That's why you're crying out to me. Because you won't let go. You don't hurt enough yet. But I'm right here. Maybe this morning you hurt. Maybe this morning you hurt enough. You're saying, Lord, I'm ready to let go. I'm ready to turn my relationships over to you. Lord, I'm ready to put a focus on you. I want to seek you with my whole heart. I'm ready to grab on, Lord. Nobody looking around. But right now the Lord is just speaking right to your heart. you know exactly what is in between you and him. And you're ready to let go. If you're telling him no, if you know you got a gambling issue and you say, no, I want to keep it. If you're saying got a drinking issue, if you've got a job issue, if you've got a leisure issue, if you've got whatever issue, if you're saying, no, Lord, two fingers is what I got for you. See you next week. But if you're here this morning and the Lord is just pointing out that area in your life and you are ready to just say, Lord, you can have it, Lord. I let it go. I'm going to grab onto you. I want to serve you. I want to be transformed. I want more of you in my life. I want an Ebenezer moment right now, Lord. I ask that you would just come into my life, come into my situation, Lord. I turn it over to you. If that is you this morning, boldness, I just want you to slide your hand and say, that's me, God. That is me, God. Slide your hand up back here. Here, 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 here.